This
is Mythical.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Lord, I done forgot one. We may have to start all
over,
Logan.
Dad, you forgot how to start your show?
Yeah,
you're having a brain fart.
I mean, that just went, it went south. I mean, way south.
Oh.
You want to play the music again?
Play the music again, Logan. I'm sorry.
All right.
Hey, this is Dispatches from Myrtle Beach with Charles Neal and my son Link from Good Mythical Morning. How you doing, Link?
I'm doing pretty good, Dad. How about you?
Oh, doing pretty good.
I don't know. You forgot the opening. You forgot what you say. Are you having a brain fart type of a day?
Yes, been one of those days where I drove a bunch of miles yesterday, so my brain been kind of in a haze today, so... But I'm good to go now. I know where I'm at. Know what I'm doing. I think.
I know how it is to have like a bit of a brain fog. It's just like, no, I didn't get quite enough sleep last night.
We foggy on the East Coast and the West Coast. That's right.
Yeah, we're not bringing our best work today.
Oh, I don't know. It might roll right around and get real good here in a little while.
Yeah, if we get a little loopy.
I was gonna talk about when y'all came home a couple of weeks ago and where you got recognized by all those people at Highway 55. They just had to have your picture. And
have you been telling people this story after? How do you tell this story?
Well, I said. When y'all came home that weekend and came by and we were going out to supper with Nana and Aunt Tisi, and it kind of finally got worked out because my son had made plans that he was going to bring food to the house, and then that didn't come to fruition. So we ended up said, I want to go to Highway 55. Wow. So we went to Highway 55. Yeah, I throwed you under the bus. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, things happen. Y'all was busy.
Chrissy's like, when Link is in charge, this is what happens. Because I told Nana, I was like, hey, we have these two funerals. It's all pretty last minute, but I want to be able to see you. And I'm going to see Mom, but it's only this one night. And then she said, well, Charles and Nancy are going to be up here. I was like, okay, tell them to come on. And like, I'll tell Aunt Tisi to come on too. And I told Nana, I was like, I think we'll be there around 4 o'clock, and then we can figure out, we can just get something for dinner. Don't worry. I didn't want her to worry about last minute having to make dinner for everybody, you know? So I said, don't worry about it. We'll pick something up and bring it, or we can go get something. Because there's always Bojangles, you know, always the tailgate special. And I didn't want to put Nan on the spot. So that's where I left it. And then when we showed up, of course it was like, yeah, it was 5:30. It wasn't 4, I think. And she had like set the table.
I mean,
everything was ready to go. no food because I did not bring any food. I was like, you know what? We'll just hang out and then we'll just get in the car and we'll go somewhere. We had already eaten at Bojangles. I didn't want to get Bojangles again. And I kind of wanted to try Highway 55.
Well, it worked out good. We went back to Nana's, and because it was close to Lando's birthday, we had a birthday, had cake and candles for Lando on the birthday cake, and got to sit around and talk and just have a good time for a little while. So I thought it worked out pretty good.
I thought it worked out pretty good, too.
And all those people that was in there working, I thought it was when the girl that, well, I can't remember her, what her name was, but the young girl that was waiting on us came out and she finally just fessed up. She says, I know who you are. She was talking to you. And I said, yeah. And then she wanted to know if she could get a picture with you.
Yeah.
I asked them, I said, do y'all know who I am? They didn't know who I was. And then you kind of went into the spiel and told them about dispatches from Myrtle Beach.
And I did.
And they said they was going to start watching that. So, yeah, I guess got kind of shoved to the background like a lot of other people that recognize you and leave you alone. So, but it was pretty neat.
I didn't shove you to the background. I pulled you up there. And I said, you're going to want him in the photo because, you know, he's a podcast host star. And once you figure all of it out, you'll be glad you got a photo of him. That's what I told him.
That's right. Yeah. I didn't mean so you I didn't push you out. To the back. They just, you put, you did. You pulled me right out there in the limelight with you and got pictures of me and you and them too. So worked out good. It's time for another edition of Myrtle Beach Mailbag. Let's get started on a mailbag this week. Link, I got a note from, I can't even know it, Brahmi, B-R-A-M-I, Brahmi.
Yeah.
It says, sure. A man is sitting at a bar when he looks over and sees another man sitting and watches the tiniest person play the littlest piano. He approaches and asks the man where he met this tiny man. The man replies, from this genie bottle. There's still one wish left. You can have it.
Oh.
The man grabs the bottle and wishes for $1 million, only for $1 million to spout from the bottle.
Whoops.
What the hell? I didn't ask for that, the man shouts. And the other man replies, and what do you think he said, Link?
He said, well, I didn't ask for... What did he ask for that he got, the genie to play piano? I think that's where the punchline is.
A 10-inch pianist. I didn't ask for a 10-inch pianist.
A 10-inch pianist. Pianist.
Yep.
Pianist.
Pianist.
10-inch. I don't know. If I was going to ask for an upgraded pianist.
Pianist.
I don't know. What is the link that I should be asking for? I think it should be longer than that, right?
That's getting on out there pretty good, 10 inches.
Yeah, I mean, I'm... What are we going to talk about right now? Are we going to talk about if we're happy with the length of our wieners? Yes, we are. And yes, I am.
Old as I am, I'm tickle slammed to death with mine.
Oh, with the way you said it, though, I pictured you slamming it in a door. Like you were tickling it with a door, but then you got a little too aggressive and you slammed it in the door. Tickled, slammed to death. Is that? I mean, that's literally what that means. Don't be playing with yourself with a door, Dad.
I'm telling you, yeah. So I ain't gonna slam it nowhere. So don't worry about it.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Okay. Well, I got another email from Landon Hollis, and it says, if a twosome is sex with two people, and a threesome is sex with three people, then now I know why I keep getting called handsome.
I thought you were going in a foursome direction, but you went the other way. You got me. Handsome. I guess it's not always a compliment. Sometimes it's a commentary on loneliness. Boy, that was sad.
I don't see. I'm glad you understood it better than I did. I still don't know if I've downloaded what that means yet or not. But
hand. There's only a hand involved.
Oh, okay. Thank you. See, I told you we was. I'm still in a little fog today, so we're fogging right along, I reckon.
As long as we're handsome doing it, that's all that matters, right?
So I'm glad I'm not handsome. I'm just handsome. Handsome. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Okay, I got a pretty serious email from Eliza Abendroth.
Okay.
Abendroth. And Eliza, I wanted to tell you this to start with. I said, that's a pretty unusual first name because that was my great-grandmother's name on my mama's side of the family.
Do you remember your great-grandma Eliza?
Well, no, I don't. I don't ever remember, but I remember mama and grandmother talking about her and how she was and different things and hear her name brought up because, you know, mama's name was Shirley, but they called her Shiley because they thought that was the way they were supposed to pronounce Shirley was Shiley. So really? That was what she was called.
So her parents called her Shirley, but everybody else called her Shiley?
No, her parents called her Shiley too. Yep.
Okay.
So
they didn't know how to spell Shiley or they didn't know how to say Shirley?
No, they spelled it. I just don't think they knew how to say Shirley, to pronounce it.
How do you name a kid something that you don't even know how to say? That's the strangest thing. It's like out of all the names you can pick, let's name our kid something that we can't say. That's
well,
funny.
They figured out how they wanted to say it, I guess. So that was what she was known all her life. But on her birth certificate, it was Shirley. That's pretty neat.
Shirley.
But Eliza sent me this email and says, how can I have a heart-to-heart talk with my dad when we're hundreds of miles apart? My dad isn't great at talking about sad or difficult things. He doesn't bring those kinds of topics up on his own, and if someone else does, he changes the topic pretty quick. I need to have a conversation with him that I think will be a little uncomfortable or difficult. What should I do? My first thing would be to probably tell you that when you call and talk to him, you just leave it kind of light to start with, and y'all just carry on a conversation and going on, and then get to the down to where you think he's comfortable talking to you and say, Dad, I really need to have a heart-to-heart talk with you. I got some things I need to go over with you. And then you also need to reiterate, said, I need for you to listen to me, not just hear me, but listen to me.
Ooh.
Because it sounds like, you know, if he's wanting to change the subject, that might would help that you're reiterating that, you know, I don't want you to just to hear me. I want you to listen to what I'm saying.
Think and about
what
it.
I'm,
yeah.
You know, what I've got to say here. You got kind of got to get into our heads a little bit and maybe get into thinking that, okay, my daughter's pretty serious about what she's wanting to talk to me about. You know, you're just kind of in a uncomfortable situation trying to talk to your dad about something, and he's in an uncomfortable situation because he don't like to talk about this kind of stuff no way. So you might be in between a rock and a hard place of me, and if he don't listen to you and kind of what I've told you, the next time you're home, maybe you'll have to maybe you'll just have to wait and sit down and whether or not it'll wait or not. But that's kind of the best information I can give you about going over and maybe trying to get him to listen to you and see what's going on. So,
well, Dad,
just give it a shot. You know,
I'm impressed. I'm impressed with your advice here. I think this is some good information, especially like couching the subject. Like you start off light, you warm up the conversation in a way that's normal, and then you say, "Hey, I'm about to give you a preamble to something. This conversation is taking a turn for the serious, and I know you don't like to go there, but I'm just giving you the heads up. Don't just hear me. I need to listen." Boy, there's lots of good catchphrases in there. Man, Dad, you should be a dad offspring communication counselor. Because that's some good stuff that you just dropped on them.
Yep, yeah.
And Dad, I think this is something that I'm realizing you do this with me. Like, sometimes we'll be on the phone and you'll be like, now... We'll be shooting the breeze, and then all of a sudden you'll be like, "Now there's something I need to ask you about," like that, and you like your tone will totally change, and I'll be like, "Who? What? Uh oh, am I in trouble? What has he heard now?" Or there's something I need to talk to you about. Sometimes you put it like that. It's either a question or but every time. It's never as big of a deal as you've built it up to be. It makes me scared, Dad.
Well, I'm probably not going to stop, so you have to get ready for the next one.
And you do it over text, too.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, "Do you know what I'm about to say?" You'll send me these scary texts out of nowhere. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What? What do you say? What are you saying?
When you were on... When I called and told you that when we were eating that night in Highway 55 and you brought up that suit, I asked you about that suit you had on and you told everybody at the table how much you paid for it.
Well, they asked. Somebody asked.
No, you don't. I don't think anybody
I did not volunteer
asked.
That.
Yes, you did.
We were talking
you
about the suit that I was wearing on Fallon, the last time I was on Fallon, and I'm sorry that you didn't get an invitation. Maybe next time.
Yeah.
We'll keep working it. I'm
keep
sure you'll get on there.
Yeah.
You didn't seem too jealous, but yeah, somebody asked what, they were like, "What's that suit?" And I was like, "Well, it's got hunting dogs." And somebody said, "How much was your suit?"
No, I asked you, "Where did that suit come from?" I don't think anybody asked you how much it cost.
I ain't going to sit that there and just brag about how much something costs. I was embarrassed at how much it cost.
Yeah. Well, your Nana was embarrassed too because she gave me up the country. "Did you hear what that was like paid for that suit?" And your mama weren't too proud of it either.
You got to drop a pretty penny if you want to have an interesting suit.
Oh, yeah, if you're going on Fallon, hey, you can't not splurge a little bit. I mean, to be with the man on the talk show circuit, he is the man. So, you know, you got to
match the man.
You got to have the right paraphernalia.
That's right. You got to have the right paraphernalia.
Yeah.
You did text me about that, and you said, I think the text then was, "Next time you buy something, don't go telling your Nana how much you spent on it." Basically your message.
Yeah.
But no, the thing that you'll do in text to me that scares me is out of the blue, you'll say, "I need you to call me."
Oh, yeah.
What?
Well, that's just, hey, it's just hard to get up with you on the telephone, and sometimes I just, what I want to tell you is not what I want to tell you on a text.
Yeah, but then when I call you, it's just small talk.
Maybe it's just because I want, instead of just texting, I want to hear your voice and talk to you.
Well, that's
so
sweet.
That's the way I
appreciate
that's
the
that, way
Dad.
I get you to do it.
Huh? Yeah, you make me think it's an emergency. I need to talk to you as soon as you can.
Oh, yeah.
But what about call me when you can or give me a ring? How about just give me a ring?
Well, sometimes I wonder when I just, if I'm not as explicit with you, as busy as you are, you just shove me over to the side.
Like in Highway 55?
Yeah.
The edge of the photos?
You pull me out over there, but just, you got some, I know you got a busy life and you got stuff going on. So maybe that's my way of getting you to call sooner than
it works.
2 or 3 days later.
It works. I need you to call me.
Well,
I got to talk to you right now about nothing. Immediately. I have to immediately
talk to you about. It's not nothing.
I know it's not nothing. It's like, it's usually something like, I mean, before this podcast, it was, I need you to call me. I'd be like, hey, what's up? It'd be like, I got recognized yesterday. Like, that's what it would be. It would be this it would be this podcast. It's exactly what it would be. I mean, these are the conversations that we have. Like, every time we would talk, you would have a new I got recognized story.
Yeah.
And so we just funnel into this.
I've got some big news. Rhett and Link are now giving you even more entertainment with videos coming out on Saturdays on their Rhett and Link YouTube channel. It won't be every Saturday, but that'll be because they're cooking something good up for you all. Their first new video is up now at youtube.com/Rhett and Link. In this episode, they dig a medium-sized hole. It's weirder and harder than you think.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Well, I got another email from Ashley Humble. Okay. Says, me and my fiance Oliver are getting married in June 2024. Boy, they planning stuff way ahead, ain't they?
Well, it's hard to get a venue these days.
Oh, okay. You just can't do like down here and just run up to Dillon and get married, like just at a drop of the bucket.
Dillon, South Carolina?
Yeah.
It's more lawful now than it used to be. South Carolina used to be just like a lawless wasteland of people just mopping up marriages, get together. Let's do it. Yeah, don't think about it. Yeah, buy some fireworks while you're down here.
Well, we better get back to Ashley. Ashley asked me, said, we're getting married in 2024, and we listen to dispatches all the way from my little town on the coast of England called Hartlepool.
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 I live in Hartlepool.
Seeing I'm as you've been married. Yeah.
She I'm getting says, a
seeing
spot
as
of
you've
marriage.
Been married several times, you also love dancing. I was wondering if you have any advice for our first dance. What songs have you had first dances to?
Oh.
Well, when Nancy and I got married, we had a song from Jimmy James and the Vagabonds, and the name of it is Come to Me Softly. And it's a slow song.
Okay.
But it's got a lot of meaning to it. And me and her had listened to it, and we liked it. And so we just sat down one day and kind of went over, because, Link, you were there.
I was there.
Had a got married on the beach. And then that night, all of her friends carried us out and to Fat Harold's, and we went dancing the night we got married.
Oh.
And when we went in there, I went up there and asked the man, the DJ, to play that song. And they stopped the floor and told about us getting married and let us have the dance floor to ourselves and played the song for us.
And did you come to her softly?
Yes, I did.
Good.
A lot of times, mine and Nancy's song would come on the radio, and I'd call her on the phone. I said, they're playing our song on 94.9. So,
for me and Christy, our song, our like first dance song was the country, I'll say country/bluegrass band, Diamond Rio, country music in the 90s. Oh, I love me some Diamond Rio.
Oh, yeah.
And their song, well, it's Now I Know How the River Feels, but I guess that's the whole title. Oh, that's a sweet song. It basically talks about how, you know, once you find the person you're supposed to be with forever, it's just like, now I know how the river feels when it reaches the sea. Finally finds the place it was always meant to be. I'll play that for a couple of weekends ago. We were just kind of having some snuggle time, and I was playing some music, and I didn't tell her, and I put on a few songs that were special to us, including that one. And it's
slipped
nice.
That
it's
one
good.
Right on in there,
yeah,
didn't?
Slipped it right. I came to her softly with it.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to have a song. Ashley, I don't want to put too much pressure on you. Yeah, you know, you'll have other songs, but whatever something that means something to the two of you right now, we can't recommend that. It has to come from the two of you.
Yep. Yeah.
A little bit of Lionel Richie won't hurt though, if you want to go that direction. Lionel never hurt nobody.
Now it's time for a word from our sponsor. We got an ad this week. I had a lot of people that sent me some emails about the best golf courses in Myrtle Beach and how you've been golfing more like you said you would. Well, I did play golf twice last week.
Oh, well, give us the ad.
I'm going to give you two places that I played golf last week, and one of them was at Beechwood Golf Course, right down the road from the house here at North Myrtle Beach. And it's a good golf course. It's not too hard. It's not too long, but it's got some good greens. And we just always have a good time down at Beechwood when we go down there and play golf. And it's pretty easy to get a tee time down there. And then the other place I went and played was, it's up North Carolina called Meadowlands. And it's a little more plush golf course, but it's really nice and got some greens and that are a little harder to read and stuff that you do. But you need to look up Meadowlands Golf Course too. So look up the Meadowlands and Beechwood and come on down here and try them out and play golf at them and see how you enjoy them. And if you do that, just email me again at ratherbeshaggin53@aol.com. So,
and you can tell them that Charles from Dispatches from Myrtle Beach sent you and that he needs a free round.
Well, you know, I might bring that up over there the next time I go tell him and pull this Dispatches and
play your celebrity
YouTube
card
video
down.
Out and let them look at it and say,
yep.
See, I'll give y'all a hand. Help me out a little bit.
That's right.
All right, Link, we're going to do the thing. Who's your daddy?
Okay.
Who's your daddy?
Okay.
It's time for our first edition of Who's Your Daddy? Link, I got some emails from people and using our whiteboards, and we're going to see if I can write down the answer and see if you can guess where they sent me in these questions.
Okay.
About what they wanted me to ask you.
And right.
And the first one is, what's my favorite saying?
What's your favorite saying? All right, so you're going to write down your answer, and I'm going to write down what I think your answer is.
Yes.
All right. I'm writing down your catchphrase, I think.
Who's your daddy?
I think it's, that would be correct.
No, I put on there, I don't know if... That dog won't hunt.
That dog won't. Oh, is that how it's W-A-N-T? That yeah. dog. So the dog wants to hunt.
Yeah. No, it's just if you tell me something and I say, you know, that's not really how it's going to happen. What's going to go on? I said, that dog won't hunt.
That yeah, I know, but you spelled it W-A-N-T, which totally negates the meaning of it. That dog won't hunt, meaning that dog desires to hunt, is the opposite.
No, that ain't what it means. It means that dog won't. Won't means,
I know, I'm just
that's not going to happen.
W-O-N apostrophe T. I'm just, okay. I'm sorry to be the grammar police. I'm just.
Well.
All right, so I missed that one. What's the next one?
What's my biggest pet peeve? Who's your daddy?
I think it's work-related, and I think it's delinquent payments. Like, somebody says they're supposed to pay you, and they keep saying, well, next week, or I'll get it to you, or it's in the mail, checks in the mail type thing.
No, that I don't have that problem.
Really?
No.
That's because you send them texts like, I need to talk to you.
That's right.
What is it? People not being on time. Tardiness.
Hey, if I'm not going to be on time, I'm going to call you, but it ain't many times. I'm ready, and I'm usually early. I'm usually early, so...
And you're mad about it right now. Even, I can tell.
I'm telling you, boy, hey, pisses me off when you can't get ready and be on time with what you're supposed to go do.
Let it out, Dad. Listen, this is a safe place for you to let your anger out. Look straight at me as if I'm somebody who's been late, but not me. Just like a general late person. You know, one of those people that's always late to stuff?
Oh, yeah, they want to make one of them grand entrances.
Yeah. Talk to that person and just let it out. It's a make-believe person. You can get all the anger out and we can move on.
Well, you know, this party started at 8 o'clock or this meeting started at 8 o'clock. It didn't mean 8:15. It didn't mean 10 minutes after 8. It meant for you to be here at 8 o'clock. So your ass should have got up 10 minutes earlier and been here on time. So... next time you're told and need to be here, be somewhere at a certain time, start a little earlier and be on time, because I don't like people that ain't on time.
But my clock was set wrong.
Hey, call somebody that cares. Don't bother me.
I took a wrong turn, Charles. I took a wrong turn.
You should have called somebody.
Hey, my phone ran out of batteries. I was thinking so much about you. I didn't want you to be mad, Charles. Well, I didn't want you to be mad.
I'm mad. I'm upset. So that's just, yeah. Cry to somebody else.
You mean so much to me, Charles. I didn't want to make you mad, Charles. Please forgive me.
We'll be all right. Hey, just don't let it happen again.
I won't be late ever again, Charles.
Okay.
All right. What's he? You feel better now?
Pretty good.
See, it works. See, you let it out. Get that off your chest, man.
Okay, Link. The next one is, what is my guilty pleasure?
Oh, guilty pleasure.
Who's your daddy?
My guess is I can totally see this being something you'd be into. But I don't think you've ever mentioned it. So this is kind of a shot in the dark. I said a pedicure. Like, what's that, Faith? Have you ever gotten a pedicure?
Yeah. Had a pedicure. Nancy carried me and had a pedicure and a foot massage and all that stuff. Hey, and it was good, too.
Oh, did you feel guilty?
No, but I...
Okay, you shouldn't have. Nothing wrong with it.
No. That's probably why I didn't think of it.
Oh,
well, I don't know if you, I hope you probably can't read this.
Eating the last piece of
Nancy's
pie. That's your guilty pleasure. Eating the last piece.
Hey, But I slip in there and get that last piece before somebody else can get it because it's so good.
Yeah, you feel bad about it, but you do it every time. I bet it tastes better when you know that you've gotten it as like a thief. Makes it taste good.
Well, looks like we've knocked another episode in the head. And
yeah, we did. Bonk, bonk, bonk.
Even though I was a little foggy to start with,
you pulled out some really good advice.
Come out of it. So y'all come on back next Tuesday for the podcast and come back Thursday for another one on YouTube. So y'all keep watching. And if you got a joke, a question, a comment you'd like to share with me, email me at ratherbeshaggin53@aol.com. So y'all have a great weekend, and we can't wait to spin your whirl again next week. So I'll be talking to you, son.
Sounds good.
Keep going like we're going, and we'll see what we can get into next week.
Yes, sir. We'll do it. Love you.
Love you, too.